video, and I want you to hear it, and then I have some scriptures that we're going to look up. In the meantime, while I find this, you may want to, in the songbook, find and keep a hold of page 37, because we're going to sing the first verse at the end of the message, page 37.
Coping mechanism. There's a picture in the museum in the Louvre. I don't know how many of you have been there. The picture is called Checkmate. The devil's sitting on this side. There's a chessboard, and there's a guy sitting on the other side. And the guy sitting on the other side has his hand on his head like this. And he's like in desperation. And as they were taking a tour through the Louvre, there had been a group of athletes, and particularly world champions, that were being given a special tour. And in the tour was the world chess champion. And he comes walking by the picture. And the guy's explaining to him, this is a picture of an artist rendering of somebody who lost the battle with the devil. And so the group moved on to the next picture to see something else. But the world chess champion, he stayed there, and he just kept looking at the picture. And soon they noticed that he was not with the group. And so the tour guide came back and said, we moved on, are you coming? He said, well, I've been looking at this picture. And the guy said, yeah, he said, it's called Checkmate. The devil's laughing, the man's lost. And he said, yeah, he said, I've been noticing that. He said, but while I've been standing here, I've kept looking at the picture. I've got a problem. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player. And I spend my life playing chess. And normal people don't always see what a world champion chess player sees. He says, but when y'all walked off, I looked at the devil laughing, and I looked at the man in desperation, but he said, I noticed something on the chessboard. He said, either they're going to have to change the painting, or they're going to have to change the name. And the guy said, well, why are they going to have to do that? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player. And he said, when I observed the board, I found out the king still has one more move.
I had never been to the Louvre and saw that painting. I've seen depictions of it in the sense that of what it was. And while this was being spoken, it showed a picture. And just like the preacher said, on one side of the table sat a man with his hand in his head, in desperation. On the other side sat a depiction of the devil with a big smile on his face. Because in the chess game of life, the devil was winning. But the world champion chess player, the thing that he saw on the board of life is that the king had one more move. The king has one more move. We worship Jesus Christ, who is awesomely proclaimed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That means that no one, nobody, none is any greater or higher than our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the greatest. Turn, if you will, please, as the first of a number of scriptures to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. I've listened to that particular video a half a dozen times. And every time I get choked up. I have people I'm praying for. I have people that I care about. I have people that I know that have problems they're dealing with. And it's wonderful to know that though they feel that they are within inches of defeat, the King has one more move. And he might just move in the way that you need. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one was like the Son of Man with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's the kingdom of Jesus. It'll not be destroyed. Turning then to Zechariah chapter 9. In Zechariah chapter 9, this one of the, what are called minor prophets because of the lesser portion size of its writing. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. And how is it that he is going to come? He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 21. And in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5, we read Matthew recording, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. Just as Zechariah said, Jesus fulfilled it. You recall the story, how the disciples were sent in and they were told to get an ass and bring it out for Jesus to ride in on the triumphal entry. And this is that. John chapter 18. In the Gospel of John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. It is said you're king. To Jesus, do you claim to be king? He said, you said it, bud. That's the way we'd put it in today's terminology. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you get to chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That's why it said that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he is going to rule and reign over all, and he is going to have put all down, and he's given it to the Father. That's his purpose. The king has one more move. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul records in verse 19, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He is King, King Supreme. I recall hearing children playing, and they were playing with their little figures of some of the mighty men of warriors, you know, within make-believe. And a Christian parent heard them speak of the one as the mightiest one. And the Christian parent said, "Oh, he's not the mightiest one." "Oh, yes, he is, Mommy." "No, he's not. Jesus Christ is the mightiest one." And that, you can't find a more positive hero figure than that of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Looking at verse 13. 1 Timothy 6, 13. "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that be Jesus Christ." When you feel as if there's no way to turn, that there's no hope left for your dilemma, remember the King.
Amen.
The chessboard of your life has one more move. It may appear to you, as it did in that famous painting, that there was no more hope. But my friend, the King has one more move. Now we're going to look at two other passages. These in the Revelation. In the book of the Revelation, we'll go to chapter 17, first of all. Chapter 17, And verse 14, and notice how Jesus is defined. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Do you see the majesty of that? These are they that are called and chosen and faithful. We are with the potentate, the only strong God, the God Jesus, King of Kings. Chapter 19 and verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Here's what's written on the thigh and the vesture of Jesus Christ. What is it? King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what it is. We do not have an anemic, picayune little God. We do not have a God of limited power like that of the gods of this world or other religions. No, we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever you need, whatever your problem, whatever your burden, remember this. The King, your King, is not done. He has one more move. You may feel like you're at the end and there is no hope. Nowhere else to turn. Nothing else that can be done. Remember, Jesus, the King, has one more move. We're going to sing regarding this matter of hope. My hope is in the Lord. We'll just sing the first verse of it, if you would, please. My hope is in the Lord. That's not right.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin.
Father in heaven, thank you for that great hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being with us tonight. We pray your blessing and that the truth that our King has yet one more move can be an encouragement to each one as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.